Hello, I'm James. I've been a Seinfeld fan since the 90s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I watched the Seinfeld pilot when it was first shown in the UK, but it didn't click, and I walked away. Over 25 years later, I'm having another go for science.
And together we're watching the entire Seinfeld series and making our own commentary track in another Seinfeld podcast we call Hello, Newman. You get it out of the system.
That's right, I try and get it all out of the system. I have been a bit coffee today, so I'm hoping. I took some cough medicine before I came here. I'm going to keep on the water.
Well done.
And I hope that that will be enough to keep it at bay.
Have you been in a coffee today? Which is, you remember that from a few months ago?
I do,
ago?
Yeah.
That was good. I don't know, we could probably go into this from here, couldn't we?
Yeah, I can't really spin coffee into anything.
No. Who would want to?
No, I mean, this will be, what, August by the time this comes out?
Yeah, I hope you're having a good August, everybody. God, I hope it's August.
we'll make it to August.
Yeah, well, we're recording in February 2015, of course.
Correct.
Yeah. So
they've only just invented microphones.
Yeah, I don't know where I got the coffee thing. It's something I made up.
Crystal ball. An orb.
An orb, yeah. Can't imagine such a thing. What I'll probably do though is I'll say hello, welcome back, or hello for the first time. I don't know, you might have just chosen to dip in.
Sure,
good for you if that's the case. I've got some admin to do right up the top of the show. Is that right?
Yeah, have at it.
Okay, so thank you for listening. If you enjoy listening to us, obviously rate and review us. Way you're listening to us, that's always very nice.
Oh yes, thank you.
But if you want to contact us, there's a way to contact us that isn't very difficult.
Oh, hello.
You could, if you're on the Facebooks, go and have a look for Hello Newman, another Seinfeld podcast, and there's a group, and you can send us, because we do post out as us. Apparently we've been posting some really extreme political views in both our names recently. It's not true. It's me. but you can contact us through that if you'd like to tell us what we've got wrong or anything, indeed. You can do so then.
Of course, it can be messages of support. They don't all have to be corrections.
No, it could be, but unfortunately the way that my brain's wired...
They might support us with corrections.
Yeah. The way my brain works is I couldn't possibly imagine anyone possibly wanting to get in touch with us to tell us we're doing a good job. It could only ever possibly be to berate us, and more specifically me, in terms of our performance and all knowledge. So you get off on the knowledge thing. I'm the one
That's
who's
true.
I've been watching Seinfeld for years. But I'm not not an encyclopedia, Steve. I just know what I know, mate.
That's right.
Okay.
A long-time fan of the comedy sitcom television program Seinfeld, starring comedian Jerry Lee Lewis.
Brilliant.
In the title role.
That's right, Great Balls of Fire. we're watching it on Amazon Prime. And the episode that we're going to be watching today is Season 3,
mm-hmm.
Episode 5, mm-hmm. The Library. I have it all queued up here, Steve. Are you ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm going to press play without any warning now. Straight into ventriloquists. You notice the ventriloquist dummy doesn't really relate to the show itself, does it? There's no vent in it, is there?
Hmm. Yeah, I can't really connect it to anything that happens in this episode.
Yeah, it kind of
unless there's something to do with giving someone a wedgie.
Yeah, or an atomic wedgie.
An atomic wedgie, indeed. And comparing that to the sticking the hand up the backside of a dummy.
Possibly.
The hand being substituted for a dummy's own underwear.
I forgot to mention as well, he was a vision in teal.
Ooh. We didn't do Sartorial Corner, but we can here because he's back in the purple shirt.
He is. Nice.
Yeah.
It's he looks good in it, I have to say.
In season?
Yeah. It's nice, but he likes a lot of buttons. Still very muted entrances by Kramer.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to choke on his banana.
He's always got a bit of business, so any Michael Richards.
Yeah.
So here we are, this setup. The New York Library wants their copy of Tropic of Cancer back that he took out in 71. That's probably quite inconsequential, isn't it? I'm sure that could be dealt with very easily, very simply, with no unforeseen circumstances.
Well, yeah, I mean, either he has the book or he doesn't.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, probably...
It's not down to him to detect who has the book, surely. Right, right. It's just, I don't have it, game over, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So this episode's going to be basically about a guy turning up at a library, apologising for having lost a book. Somebody is going there, kind of negotiating a reasonable... Oh, a flashback.
Yeah.
Negotiating a reasonable fee. Who was that a flashback to, Steve?
Sherry Becker.
Sherry Becker.
Someone Jerry knew very well back in his high school days.
Girlfriend, and even, maybe.
I don't know whether they ever got that far or whether
No, it's never properly established, is it? Yeah.
I think it was like she was one that got away, you know, they were just pals.
Not sure that I'd ever really thought about it until right then, which is ill-prepared of me.
Send in your comments and corrections.
Yeah, to facebook.com. Mark Zuckerberg deals with our stuff. Decent bit of stock footage of the library.
Yeah, they did a good job there. Yeah. Newspapers on sticks.
It's a nice
keep seeing those.
Nice little riff about newspapers on sticks here, right, which I quite like. I don't know if libraries still do that, because whenever I go to... We've got a rather lovely central library.
I've not been in quite a while, actually.
It's very nice, very nice. But you go in there, it's people using computers. They're all doing internet things.
They are, yeah.
Yeah. It's mostly old boys with their transfer records. Excellent librarian. Beautiful, yet stern.
Indeed, yes. Yeah.
The sort of woman that you could definitely see Kramer falling in love with.
He's already talking about her in a wistful manner.
Reminds me of a friend of mine that worked on a fish counter at a supermarket that would that faced the door as the customers came in, that would offer off-colour opinions on individuals as they came through the door. He wasn't quite as poetic as Kramer, though. Well, she's got a romantic side to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great performance again, isn't it? This is an episode full of amazingly strong...
She gets the librarian down, doesn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
The stern, slightly world-weary kind of...
But with an undercurrent of whimsy.
Yes, which we find out a little bit more about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dare I say here, as much as I've said in the past...
Yeah.
That Jerry's jacket that he's wearing there is not particularly pleasing to the eye.
Yeah.
It actually works with the rest of his outfit.
It does. He's I don't know whether it's like his skin's clearer this week. I don't know whether he's been eating well, you know, but he looks like he's got it all going on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So George has just bumped into a figure from their past. So Jerry's already had cause to a flashback. But George thinks that a tramp outside the library is their old gym teacher, or PE teacher, as we would call them.
Mm, physical education.
Yes. Which makes
sense. That's right, move over to the notice board, no one will hear you there.
But it baffles the sound, doesn't it?
Yes.
Some people could say that when we record, we could do with a couple of notice boards up. But I like it in this church. It's nice.
It's nice we have the access.
It is, you know, very, very close with the
He's out on a case.
Yeah. A book detective who goes out on cases. What sort of man would that be, do you think? This episode is so beautifully paced. I like the way that it's gathering already. It's sort of each scene is a little turn in terms of like slowly crotcheting up the... Ratcheting,
you found it.
Ratcheting up the tempo and the ludicrousness. Brand new location.
Yes, this is where Elaine works.
It is Pendant Publishing.
I misread that as Pedant Publishing the first time.
which would be brilliant.
A great name.
Yeah, absolutely. I like their classic actually. Which I suppose will be mansplaining publishing now, isn't it? The actually has been taken over by mansplainers, hasn't it?
That's true, yeah.
I think as a pedant...
Not even women can actually anymore.
No. I think as a pedant, I'm gonna reclaim actually for pedants.
So Elaine seems to be getting snubbed by most of her co-workers.
Absolutely, which is, yeah, what I find interesting about that is I think we're starting to understand how their codependency works. Is everyone else sees them as the freaks we see them as, and it's only in that little friendship bubble that they're really genuinely safe and sort of with people who understand them. So awkward.
She does stick out a bit there, doesn't she? I hadn't thought about that before.
It is the clearest example we've had yet of Elaine's complete social anxiety, which is makes her all the more lovable, in my opinion. Okay, so...
Is George still unemployed at this moment?
I don't believe he's got a job at this point, no. I'm not looking at... I was about to tell you who an actor was, and I'm not even looking at the right episode on my reference materials. So
battery-powered reference materials.
That's right. Lithium battery-powered reference materials. Bear with, Steve.
I see no cake on the table this time around. It's worth pointing out. Always like to keep an eye out on cakes when we're in Monks. No such luck this time.
It's a good point. Although George looks like he's still choosing. So I don't know whether they've eaten, he joined him late. Mr. Littman, who we saw in the last scene, played by an actor called Harris Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done. Mr. Littman will reappear, but not as Harris Shaw. He was recast. All right, it's another flashback. Can't stand ya! I like that he's... when he's describing his gym teacher, and he talks about the little baked bean teeth, my favorite description. This is genuinely where I learned what a wedgie really was, because wedgies.
I don't know how embedded wedgies have been in American culture through the 20th century. Yeah. But in the UK, I don't think we were really aware of it until the 90s.
No.
From what was being imported.
I think atomic wedgies get quite embedded.
True.
But I'm sure that we did it, though. I just can't remember.
It was the school tie. How I remember it. Getting a peanut on the school tie.
Which was very easy to do back then, because I don't know about you, but when I was at school and a young man... We were thin side out, so we'd have, rather than the fat part of the tie, we'd transpose our ties, so they were very, very thin, very easy to do a peanut on those, that makes the tie almost completely impossible to take off. Not good. It was rough. A little bit of stand up about return fees. So we've got topical, brilliant Bookman.
Here he is. A great opening exchange between the two of them here as well.
Very interesting. If you keep an eye on this scene, look at the cutting. Constantly cutting away from Jerry laughing.
Yeah.
Constantly. Which makes this an even more masterful performance. Because he's having to deal with a corpsing actor.
You can see that. Trying to hide the smirk look on Jerry's face. He's no doubt enjoying the performance. Probably a bit starstruck as well.
Because
Philip Baker Hall was a heck of a performer.
He's been an awful lot. Do you want to recount some of the stuff that he's been in?
Yeah. At the time, he hadn't done a great deal of film work. He was more of a TV actor.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I scouted him straight away through watching... Paul Thomas Anderson films.
Yeah.
His first feature film, Hard Eight, Philip Baker Hall plays quite a major character in that. Also appears in Magnolia. I think also he has a smaller part in Boogie Nights as well. Like early on in his films. Yeah.
He plays Mark Wahlberg's penis, I believe.
Yes. Little cameo at the end.
Yeah.
One of the, well, actually, I thought it was one of the testicles, but I'm not sure we saw that.
You may be interested in this little factoid, Steve.
Give me a fact. Fact me. Think,
when you look at his IMDb, and you go all the way to his first build part, this will interest you as a Pink Floyd fan.
Okay.
As Steve is. His very first film was Zabraski Point.
Really?
Really? Well, how about absolutely, that? Yes. He was in that in 1970, which of course is scored by...
Partially scored by Pink Floyd.
Jerry Garcia is the other build
composer.
But yes, that was his first thought. That interests you because you and I have a mutual appreciation of Pink Floyd. So that was...
So now even you and I are starstruck.
Yeah, absolutely. But he plays a fantastic... the whole dragnet librarian thing is just perfect. Such a funny performance that we've just talked all over. This is a brilliant...
Oh, that's a brilliant. Excellent touch. I love that.
The female librarian...
Marion just kind of...
Outside Kramer's door and quickly being dragged in by Kramer. It's brilliant. Almost Fast-like. Almost.
Almost.
Almost Frasier-like. Only not boring. I love how extreme Kramer's relationships are.
Mm.
Still bellowing at Bookman.
Yeah.
A lot Probably braver
two
now.
Flights down.
Yeah. A lot braver now he's gone.
Oh, yeah. That dragnet kind of grizzled detective kind of performance is just incredible.
It is.
Very. You wouldn't expect that from... Mm. What is it? A lieutenant or something?
Yeah. But the thing is, obviously it's scripted. So the character's scripted, but there's no way... So he's looked up Sherry Baker in the phone book because he wants to get Tropic Cancer back. Sorry, I'll quickly... So although it's scripted, that character is... completely rests on getting the right actor for the part.
Definitely.
Boy, did they cast well. So Sherry, he's met the now adult Sherry.
They haven't seen each other in some time.
Yeah. She's become a very middle-aged...
Yeah, she's very momsy here.
Yeah, yeah. Looks like maybe she lives in Jersey now.
Yep. And she's made up in such a way that that's deliberately making her top lip look a little dark.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it's not. In no way is it a flattering job they've done. On everything's a little bit too... I'm sitting here critiquing a woman's makeup. I'm not comfortable. Help me, Steve.
We'll move on because there's a second book being brought into the story.
Yes, Tropic of the Capricorn. Cancer.
So there's a Cancer and a Capricorn.
Yeah.
Sherry remembers it as Capricorn.
Yeah.
Jerry's been thinking of it as Cancer.
Yeah.
So who's right and who's wrong?
Yeah.
Is Jerry's memory correct? Is Shelley's memory correct? Are they both misremembering?
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's almost like a rosebud sort of nose.
It is. And Jerry's now involved in the flashback with a fantastic hairpiece.
What would you call that? Some sort of like Uber mullet, isn't it?
It doesn't seem like a formal mullet yet. It's like he just...
But it appears
due
in
a haircut,
stages.
But he hasn't had one yet.
It's sort of... There's three levels to it, though, isn't there? Short, medium, and... Oh, hello!
Yeah.
Culminating in the party around the back. Library after dark
with
Kramer and his librarian friend, Marion.
She's a poet.
And he knows it.
Correct.
Thank you.
You know, she just read in one, so that would confirm it.
I like.
Oh, look at that.
I like those. They're black and whites, aren't they? Notebooks. I like them.
Is that the official name?
I don't know. Probably.
Hello.
Perfect. So Bookman does come back to the base after hours, probably to drink some whiskey out of his drawer.
Yeah, just file his paperwork.
Yeah, smoke some cigarettes. Write stories about dames. See, much more professional acting there. Much less corpsing going on in this scene. Can't imagine for a minute Michael Richards putting up with that sort of BS. Brilliant. Even down to the flourish. But you can see he's having so much fun with it as well. So he's playing it perfectly straight. Yeah. Elaine still angsting about office politics.
Hi, George.
Poor old Kramer.
He's feeling the emotions.
Yeah. To be fair, that's how I feel when I read poetry, but it's just I'm not mad keen on it.
That's me reading anything I wrote more than 5 years ago.
Oh, God, yeah.
This is so trite.
Yeah. Is it another nice shirt? Similar style. I like it. But then he tucks it in. And I don't know. Into stonewashed.
You're in. Either a tucker or an untucker.
That's true.
Or a Nantucket.
I once knew a man from Nantucket. Poor old George. Oh dear. Couldn't leave it well alone, could he?
What happened to that gym teacher?
Yeah.
For him to hit the brick so hard?
Well, I guess we get to find a little bit about why that gym teacher's life went wrong.
This is true.
All comes out now is what I like about George, right? He didn't just have a wedgie and it was a trauma. He had a wedgie and he immediately reported it. People in these stories never immediately report it. They always go home and cry, but George's indignity means that he has to seek justice. Baked bean teeth. It's touches like that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Little flourishes in the writing. Oh, dear. George got a wedgie. Brilliant monologuing from Jason Alexander again.
He really paints a picture, doesn't he?
He really does. He's so good at those. Brilliant!
Hey, there it is.
Was an atomic wedgie. I want to know what he did with the rest of those pants.
You might have to fish them out later.
Yeah, they're like fused onto his body. Okay, so now Jerry remembers that he gave the book to George.
Mm.
So, obviously, he's going to expect George to still have it.
Oh, no.
Another
flashback.
The locker
room again. George forced to relive more of his past.
Brilliant. Oh, those baked bean teeth.
Oh, he was there all along.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'd eat baked beans if they looked like that.
No, it'd be really hard to chew.
I like that he keeps looking round to an unseen audience as he's teasing. It's like the whole time that he's berating George, he's turned into Jim from The Office.
I think we're also looking at perhaps the source of George's gay panic.
Yeah, almost certainly, yeah. I think it was the same for a lot of American schoolboys that... Brilliant. Brilliant. What's your problem? Like a pit bull on a poodle. Oh, amazing, amazing. That's a newspaper on a stick.
How about that?
I am going to go to the library in the next few days and see if they still do that. Bet they don't. You don't even have a librarian to check your books out anymore. They've got little RFID tags. Just put them on a plate.
On a plate?
And it goes, boop.
Oh.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And so, the final scene. Can't stand ya. Beautiful cherry on the top of this episode. Of course, he's got the drop of cancer.
It's been outside the library
the whole time. Brilliant. It's one of the first episodes as well where it's like, oh, you can do some stand-up now. You don't actually need anything. You finished that episode absolutely. You've stuck the landing perfectly. I mean, fair play. I mean, it's some funny jockstrap talk, but when you stick the landing that well, it's a bit of a shame to do a flourish after it, isn't it?
Jockstrap's another weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I don't know why. I don't
never encountered that in my school gym.
I don't know why British testicles are less precious than American testicles.
Lower impact sport? I don't know. There's rugby, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm going to say I played in a rugby team and I definitely didn't have any protection down there. And I wore Y fronts, but that was it.
Well, I mean, that's a decent amount of cradle you get from a pair of Y fronts.
I also had a uniform on. Uniform? Is that what it's called? Yeah, I had a uniform on as well. So, Steve.
Yeah, because, you know, you wouldn't just be out there in the field in November playing rugby in your Y fronts.
No.
No, that, you know.
No. Although
it depends on the school you go to, I guess. How much your parents pay per term.
Yeah, we played a lot of public schools, and they almost exclusively either played naked or just in pants.
Outrageous.
And then we'd thrash each other with birch twigs at halftime.
Giggle. So... James.
Yes.
I'm going to turn this on its head.
Oh, brilliant.
Behind the scenes,
you've
been saying, wait till the library.
Yeah.
Wait till the library.
Yeah.
Wait till the library.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, James, how did you feel about the library?
Oh, I love it. It's one of the first Seinfelds where everyone really properly feels like they've got something to do. Everyone's got a bit of a storyline going on. So you've got Jerry... We have the books. You've got Elaine with the social anxiety. You've got Kramer with the librarian. And you've got George with his gym teacher. So every character has got a fully serviced story, which keeps the pace up really nicely because there's lots of funny stuff happening. You've got one of the first brilliant day characters that we see. Like Bookman is the first, like, just hilarious, overblown, larger-than-life character. And every time he's on camera, he's hilarious. And then builds up to quite a clever ending as well. So it's a really satisfying capper to this story as well. So for me, this feels like kind of genuinely the first proper Seinfeld where... all of those elements are in place that you'd expect from later on. I love it. I think it's hilarious. Each of the stories have a Kramer and Elaine less so, but certainly the George.
There's something going on for all of them.
Yeah,
isn't
the two A stories though with George and Jerry are really genuinely very funny. Would you like me to ask you how you felt about it now?
No, I'll assume it as asked.
Okay.
I will, I'll definitely grant you that what this episode does well is it gives everyone something to do.
Yeah.
And they all, Elaine to a lesser extent, but even still, they all cross paths.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
I think genuine character development for Elaine. We get to see Elaine properly outside of that group.
And I hadn't really noticed the first time you pointing out here helped a lot, actually, is that she's awkward there.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really picked that up the first time, but she both physically in the way she carries herself and what she's wearing.
Yeah.
And also just by the way people are reacting around her. I hadn't really twigged on that the first time, but yeah, she is more of a fish out of water at her workplace than... I would have expected to see. They all have their own stories. They've all got something to do.
Mm-hmm.
They all cross paths, which is interesting. That's very well managed. And that Jerry and George's stories actually converge and come together is pretty neat. And the thing with Elaine I'd noted down here that it feels like it's like you were saying, it's more like character development. It's more like dropping something in which they can then use later.
Yeah.
Like, this is a thing about Elaine we haven't talked about before.
Yeah.
But this is going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't imagine it will be the last time we see her in the workplace.
No.
Sort of stuff. So that's all pretty good. For me, the episode is interesting for what Larry Charles, we've already talked about this, what he does with the characters, getting them all involved, and basically the mapping and the strategy he's having to do in writing that episode in order to get everything to cross paths and it feel cohesive. And on top of that, we also get the flashbacks, which not only just by being written in there, but also through the director and the way that they're being portrayed, is on both of those levels is definitely an experimentation with the format.
Yeah,
we haven't seen much like this, which really kind of takes you out of what is pretty much a workaday presentation into something more fantastic.
For sure.
And the only other time we've really seen anything like that was also another Larry Charles episode with the fake death.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that definitely feels like a hallmark and something to watch out for again later. So the technical side of the writing is pretty fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
As a kind of, especially after the first viewing, as a story, it was okay. It wasn't great.
Yep.
And it felt to me like it was pretty much a one character episode. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for both the way Bookman had been written, and then thank God having Philip Baker Hall to turn in that performance.
Oh yeah, a lot hangs on that.
It would have been a very, very. I mean, it just would have run. To me, it would have run flat. It would have been. It would have been smart. Mm-hmm. It would have been interesting.
Yeah.
But a bit scrappy.
Yeah.
So Bookman makes all the difference. Otherwise, not as funny.
Okay.
Not as funny to me. And there's a risk with the Bookman character as well, depending on who you cast for that it could actually go quite wrong.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, instead of it being played relatively straight, kind of taking us back to like a 50s crime story, you know, slightly noirish almost. You know, there you are, slap bang in the very early 90s, and you could go wacky. And they don't, which is good. Thank God for that. Because it could have made that a very different episode. Yeah, the stand-up is the weakest part of this episode.
Feels incongruous for the first time.
It doesn't really make much of a difference. There's a little bit about life in the library. There's a little bit about anxiety at the school gym.
Mm.
Yeah, the thing about the ventriloquist dummy at the beginning doesn't actually point to anything in the episode. Yeah. It just feels like filling time.
Yeah.
We have to put stand-up at the beginning because this is how we make the show. And that's, so I don't know. I mean, it's all about Bookman. Scientifically, there's some interesting stuff happening with the writing. I didn't laugh a great deal.
Okay.
And that's how I ended up.
Mm. See, I guess for me, I love Bookman. And that's what really makes it for me. I also like the fact that I think the pacing of the story is great, as I mentioned earlier. Love the way it comes together. That's good. It's nice to have slight differences of opinion.
It's what makes the world go round.
Absolutely. So I love it, and you give it a meh.
I'll give it an okay, or just above okay.
Okay.
But it's all about Bookman. If not for Bookman, we'd have a different conversation.
I think I probably agree. This episode rests very much on that performance. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But unless you've got anything else to add.
Don't forget to clean your teeth.
That's very good advice.
You don't want baked bean teeth.
You don't want little baked bean teeth, no.
And always return your library books.
Always return your library books.
Keep tabs on those.
And on time, preferably. But otherwise, I think we should say thank you for listening, and bye-bye.
Bye.